What you believe often determines how you live. It's harder if you live differently than what you believe. So it makes sense to know what it is that you believe and then begin to proceed to live that way. Now, with regard to questions of God, some people think maybe they'll get to those questions someday. But I wouldn't recommend waiting till some crisis shows up before you begin to answer those questions and sort out what it is you believe. I claim that knowing Jesus will help you with how to live and will help you live the best way. So we affirm our faith each time at Daleville Christian Church, and this affirmation from 2 Corinthians, they're always from God's Word. In chapter 5, we read, "We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him," meaning of course Jesus, "we might become the righteousness of God. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses." That is your confession that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father, so that Jesus will be the sacrifice for your sins and you can become the righteousness of God because Jesus will have reconciled you to God and made you right through his sacrifice, his death upon the cross. So there's a lot packed into that 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 20 and 21. When we say, this we believe. God's word for today is from Matthew's Gospel, the 5th chapter. The 5th chapter, verses 33 through 42. "Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago," this is Jesus speaking in his familiar Sermon on the Mount, "do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it's God's throne, or by the earth, for it is God's footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. You have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth, but I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you." May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. Today, we focus on our Bible verse of the week, which is usually from God's word for the day, but it's not this week. We turn for our Bible verse of the week to 1 Peter 3:9, where we read, "Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing." As I mentioned, I think maybe last week, our prayers tend to be for asking, which is okay. Jesus even told us, ask, seek, knock. And what does James say in his letter? You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, he goes on to say, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. So many times, our prayers consist of what we want. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. I want to reiterate that. There's nothing wrong with your prayers asking for what we want. It's honest communication, and honest communication is a wonderful thing, especially between you and the Lord. The Lord knows what you're going to ask anyway. May as well kind of fess up to it. Be honest. Jesus said, ask, seek, knock. So, ask. Now, your parents might have told you and taught you that it's impolite to ask. Those were your parents, not Jesus. Jesus said, ask. But having said that, we often focus our prayers on what we want. And I keep saying that our God wants something for us, rather than our God wants something from us, which is where many people place our God. As I labored last week to say, I never claimed and never want to claim that the Lord will bring you what you want. The Lord is bringing you what the Lord wants for you. The Lord has promised to bring you what the Lord wants for you. Today, even though I claim that life with Jesus is way better than anything else, you should know that I honestly need to let you know that there are some things the Lord will not help you with. It's true. There are some things the Lord will not help you with. I invite you to type into your Bible search program two words. Those two words are do not. Do not. That phrase shows up in Matthew's Gospel about 70 times, where there are listed 70 things. Well, they're not listed, they're all through that Gospel book, but there are 70 things not to do. Now, we have to admit, many of these do nots you already know. But we have a hard time following them. Can you guess? How about do not be afraid? How about do not worry? How are you doing on that one? Do we see those as commandments? Usually not, but I notice they use the same kind of language that's in the Ten Commandments, and I'm quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 5. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal. Jesus said, do not worry, be not anxious, don't be afraid. Do you hear any difference in those words or in the way those are said? Yet we want to claim that we are doing the Ten Commandments, but who among us is prepared to say, oh, I'm not afraid. Well, I'm not worried. I'm not anxious. Now, it isn't about sin or not. It's about how the Lord wants us to live. It also tells us that the Lord is never helping us to be afraid. The Lord is never helping us to worry. The Lord is not helping us to be anxious. There are things the Lord will not help us do. You and I are doing that all on our own. You and I are being anxious all on our own. You and I are being afraid all on our own. You and I are being worried all on our own power. In Matthew 5:39, Jesus said, but I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. So we're going to talk about this verse in some detail in a few moments. But Jesus is saying is that you may ask help for anything, but there are some things Jesus won't help you with. Jesus will not help us repay evil with evil. Some other examples you can probably appreciate. For example, an alcoholic in the middle of his addiction might pray for more alcohol, might pray for more drug, or he might pray for whatever substance is the addict's choice. The addict might receive what he prayed for, but it was not the Lord providing it. That's called an unfortunate circumstance or a series of unfortunate events. The addict in his addiction did not think it was unfortunate. The addict might think it was the answer to the addict's prayer, but it was not. You know that joke about the pastor who was trying to lose weight, so he prayed to the Lord one morning on his way to work, "Lord, please don't let there be a parking spot in front of the donut shop." Please, it's a prayer, please don't let there be parking in front of the donut shop. He decided to even pray, "But Lord, if you want me to go into the donut shop, put an open parking space in front of the donut shop." Well, there it was, a parking space right in front of the donut shop. So the pastor went into the donut shop, and the pastor's weight loss program was put off for a few more days. Later, the pastor did confess he drove by that same donut shop 5 times, and the 5th time, a parking spot was right there in front, an open parking spot. Friends, our Lord Jesus will help you, and there are some things Jesus will not help you do. Jesus gives you freedom to drive by the donut shop 5 times, but eventually you will find a parking spot right in front. And if you refuse the help the Lord is giving, you are indeed on your own. Still, there are just some things the Lord will not help us do, even if we do ask. In the Disney story of Aladdin, and this is now out in live action in theaters, it's based on the animated version that came out in the 1990s, and yes, this is Aladdin, the one with the magic lamp. The genie appears and tells the one who rubs the lamp that they may have 3 wishes granted. However, there are 3 things you can't wish for. You can't wish for more wishes. You're only going to get 3 wishes, period. The genie will not kill anyone for you. Well, let's not all look so innocent. How many times has someone said of us, "If looks could kill..." Well, the genie will not fulfill any wish for someone's death. And finally, the genie cannot make anyone fall in love with you, or presumably the genie cannot make anyone fall in love with anyone else. Those are the limits on the 3 wishes. Now, I'm not saying I didn't hear Jesus say that there's anything we cannot pray for. I heard Jesus say, "Ask, seek, knock." But the Bible shows us that there are some things the Lord is simply not going to do for us, and there are things the Lord will not help us do. Some of these are very simple. I really love some of the detail on these verses in the Bible. This is the book of Acts, chapter 12. It's kind of a long report, so I'll give you the short version. Peter was put in prison, going to trial. It mentions that the church was praying for Peter. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, woke Peter up. Peter's chains fell off of him. The angel said, "Put on your clothes and sandals." Then Peter, with the angel, passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. So notice, the angel makes the chains fall off of Peter. The angel can open Peter's cell and walk Peter past the guards with no one noticing, and the city gate opens by itself. But Peter has to put on his own shoes. For whatever reason, the angel will not dress Peter to get ready to go. Maybe Peter has to have some sweat equity in this deal, so to speak. Peter has to demonstrate some confidence in the angel that Peter will indeed need his shoes to walk out of the prison cell and walk out of town. I don't know. The Bible does not say. But clearly, the angel will not put Peter's sandals back on for Peter. This Peter must do for himself. There's only so much the Lord is going to do for Peter. In another more important crisis reported to us in Luke's gospel, Jesus himself was confronted by a man whose father had just passed away. He was probably not the firstborn of the family because he comes to Jesus and says, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Firstborns usually got all the inheritance. And this man says, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." For whatever reason, But maybe selfish reasons, this man asked Jesus to fairly judge the inheritance between the two. Jesus refused. Jesus was not going to help this man with the questions about his father's legacy. And let's notice, the man did ask Jesus. The answer was no. Jesus said, "I'm not going to do that for you." There are many other examples in the New Testament and the Old Testament. But here are the apostles' statements on repaying evil for evil. Romans 12:17, "Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all." 1 Thessalonians 5, "See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all." 1 Peter 3:9, "Not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing." Jesus said, "I say to you, do not resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other to him also." Jesus is saying the same thing, right? Jesus gives examples. Turn the other cheek. Now, that does not mean we should let others abuse us. Of course not. A too literal meaning will lose what Jesus is saying. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul put a footnote on Jesus saying to turn the other cheek. The Apostle Paul said, "Turn the other cheek, but make sure that you're wearing your helmet. Put on the full armor of God." Ephesians chapter 6. We followers of Jesus are not defenseless. Jesus told Peter to skip using the sword, but do be fully defended against evil. "Be wise as serpents," Jesus said. We are to stand up to evil, but we don't repay evil for evil. Jesus stood up to the devil and the devil's temptations, but Jesus did not fight with the devil. Jesus calling us to turn the other cheek. Jesus is calling for an unselfish temperament. Jesus is calling for a humility and a loss of personal rights. This same Jesus who, before his own accusers at his trial, was silent when he had been given opportunity to speak. Jesus did not resist his arrest and chastised Peter when Peter did resist Jesus' arrest. Jesus is declaring plainly, two wrongs do not make a right. Revenge, the revenge we take, the revenge we would exact, that is poison to our souls. The Apostle Paul will teach the believers in the Roman churches, "Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." We need not exact revenge in this life. Judgment is coming. Do you believe it? Love of God and love of neighbor are always to be our motivating force. Personal vengeance, pride, and anger are to be emptied from our hearts. Those fires should never be fed. We must, as Jesus said in Luke's gospel book, take up our cross daily. Or as the apostle explained in his love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, love bears all things, endures all things. Love will endure all the bad that is thrown at it. And if you're not sure, this interpretation of Jesus' words is not mine, but my divinity school professor, W.D. Davies. But friends, remember, you do have the freedom to fight back tooth and claw. You have the freedom to wreak vengeance on those who hurt you, persecute you. But I am honor-bound to remind you, the Lord will not help you with that. The Lord who knows how to be vengeful, our Lord who hates evil, will help you withstand evil and endure in love. But the Lord will not help you to wreak vengeance or respond with evil to evil. You will be completely on your own. You get to choose. Amen.